When I was younger, I found readings like the first passage from Numbers really difficult to interpret. How could God do that? Send a serpent amongst the people and allow for the venom to kill them? And, well, yes, there would then be repentance because they would look to the serpent that is on the pole. And there are many people who find the Old Testament incredibly problematic because God seems to come across not as merciful, but as vengeful. But here's the thing that I've learned through the years that have helped me greatly, that we cannot only read the Old Testament in a literal sense, although within its context, the story, as Sheila read it, is how it undoubtedly unfolded. But because of how we read the whole of Scripture, we have to, as the Catechism says, also read it allegorically. And that is showing how it points to its fulfillment in Christ. And the Catechism would also say that we have to read the Scripture from a moral sense. That is how we are to act justly. So with that in mind, let's think again for a few minutes about that passage from Numbers. This is yet one more account of the people grumbling against God, against Moses, that there is a tone within the camp that is profoundly negative, and we could indeed say it is venomous. The way in which that kind of criticism and negativity, what does it do to community over time? It infests that community with a kind of dispirited negativity and angst and anxiety that turns people away from God and one another. And so part of what we have to see with a text like this is how is our negative speech like venom? What does it do to our families? What does it do to our churches? What does it do to our communities? When people talk in this kind of way, it's poisonous, and it leads to, if not a physical death, it can lead to a psychological death, an emotional death, and a spiritual death. And so part of what this scripture invites us to is an understanding that we are to act in such a way that as we look to Jesus Christ, who, what did he do on the cross? It's not a serpent that goes there. It's the very Son of God who takes into himself the venom of the world. So that as we look to Jesus and we are converted, that one of the things that is to change is the way in which we relate to God, in our prayer, in our attitude, the way in which we relate to ourselves, in our attitude and our self-talk, and the way in which we relate to others, be it in our families, our church, and our larger community. And so a passage like that one that we had from the book of Numbers is to be instructive. It's to invite us into this place of meditating ever more deeply on how we need the cross in our own lives. St. Thomas Aquinas, when talking about the way of the cross, about what it is to try in this life to follow Jesus, has this beautiful paragraph that I would like to read for you now. It is better to limp along the way of the cross than to stride along off the way. For a man who limps along the way of the cross, even if he makes only slow progress, comes to the end of the way. But the one who is off the way, the more quickly he runs, the further he runs from his true goal. If you're looking for a goal, hold fast to Christ, because he himself is the truth, where we desire to be. Hold fast to Christ if you wish to be safe. In other words, what Aquinas is saying is to follow the way of the cross. We might be limping along that way. One more day, oh, I used my tongue in a way that I don't want to. One more day where I didn't look to the cross in the way that I want to. But Aquinas would say, never leave the way of the cross for that other way. And it's interesting how he talks about the one who's off the way. They're striding along with a certain, perhaps even confidence. But as Aquinas says, the person who's striding is going farther and farther and farther away from Jesus. Whereas the person who is limping along the way of the cross will ultimately be able to achieve that goal, which is to hold fast to Christ if we wish to be saved. May we be inspired by this lovely image of walking along the way of the cross, recognizing that to follow in the way of Jesus in a world like this is always going to be more challenging. To follow in the way of Jesus when the spirit of negativity and criticism and the kind of skepticism that leads so many to doubt God, we more and more are brought into that place of saying, we look to Jesus. And for us as Catholic Christians, we are so privileged because every day of every week, of every month, of every year, Jesus is lifted up in the unbloody sacrifice of the Holy Mass. As we look to Jesus, who is presented, represented here on the altar. When we receive the sacrament of his body and blood, we don't just unite ourselves to Christ. We nail ourselves to the cross, dying with Christ so that we may rise with him. When we eat ordinary food, we consume that food and it becomes part of us. The Eucharist is the exact opposite. We don't consume the Eucharist so that it becomes, so to speak, part of us. We consume the Eucharist so that we become part of Jesus. And the more we live this way, the more we will continue with Aquinas to limp along the way of the cross, aware that a life that is cross-shaped is the harder way, but it is the meaningful way. It is the purposeful way. It is the way that leads to life. And people who are discovering this, coming to know it's true. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him may not perish, but have eternal life. God did not come into the world to condemn us, but to renew us, to restore us, and to bring us to himself. Thanks be to God for this day, Feast of the Holy Cross.